Hello everyone, my name is Jacob Kroll and welcome to the brand new episode of the Sonic Boom podcast. Once again, my name is Jacob. I'm a junior in the music industry major, and I'd like to pass along with the group of people I'm here with today.
Hi, I'm Kaya. I'm a freshman and I am a music industry music performance major.
How y'all doing? My name is Alexia. I am a computer science and music major.
And I am Dr. Honnold. I'm in the podcast today, and I'm a professor in the music department.
Dr. Honnold will be here to give her insight as she specializes in our topic today. Our topic today is women more in the music industry, more specifically women being over-sexualized in the music industry.
And objectified.
Yes. And we have a line of questions that Dr. Honnold is going to give her insight on. Dr. Honnold, could you tell us a little more about yourself?
Absolutely, yeah. I am an ethnomusicologist and a saxophonist. And ethnomusicology is the study of music in like its social and cultural contexts. And also another way to look at it is it's a study of like people and music and how those things like kind of interact and
right.
are connected to each other. And my specific specialty is studying the implications of race and gender in popular music mainly.
Right.
And so I'm really excited to be here because this is right up my alley.
Right.
So.
I was about to say this is the perfect topic.
Yep. I'm excited. Can I ask y'all a question?
Of course.
Yes.
To start, what brought you to this topic? Like, where did this come from?
So I actually did choose this topic. I personally think that women's rights is a thing that has and continues to be an issue, especially with what's going on in the state of this country right now. So I feel like this is if this conversation makes someone uncomfortable, they're probably the problem. So we need to talk about it.
It's the change over time when females in the industry, like, I would say back in the day, that's when they were more structured. They weren't necessarily objectified as much, but they had more so respect for themselves to not put themselves out there like that because men were already treating them wrong. So over time, I feel like that has decreased and we kind of just settled with it instead of trying to fix it.
Okay.
And this is an industry that Lexi and myself are in. So
right.
why not better try to talk about and better industry that we're going to be a part of because we have a long life ahead of us in this.
Gotta advocate. Gotta
speak up. That being said, let's start these questions.
Awesome. So the first thing I want to ask you was how has the portrayal of women in the music industry evolved over the last 40 years?
Good question. So I feel like the portrayal of women has evolved through the work of particular artists over that last 40 years. So you're essentially talking about the 1980s, and that immediately brings to mind an artist named Madonna.
Yes.
And anybody who knows me knows that I'm a Madonna fan, but it's more than that, actually. I can also be relatively objective about it in that she was an artist who really worked to break down some of the barriers, but also to actually take control of like how she was being portrayed in the media. And she was one of the first people that had enough power to be able to do that. So that's one way to look at this is like through the artist's perspective or like through looking at an artist like Madonna, and I can name some others as well. And then the other side is like, sort of out of her hands, but how she was portrayed in the media. And so some of that, like, really, I don't know, it was a lot of negative and positive press over right. the years, but that's the part was a little bit out of, you know, her control, and that still persists today. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Where artists put themselves out there, we kind of don't know how audiences or how the public is going to
react,
like,
interact
with it. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
So it's evolved a lot in a lot of different ways, but I like to look at particular artists to kind of like follow their careers and like see certain ways, like specific ways that it's changed.
So how would you feel the portrayal of women in the music industry evolved as far as today?
today.
Modern time.
So through, you know, some of those artists from the 80s, like Madonna or Pat Benatar or even Joan Jett or some of these early, like, rockers, I feel like they really laid a foundation for a lot of the young women, like female identifying artists that we see out in the world today. Like Rihanna, as an example, is like a huge Madonna fan.
Yeah.
And so just her, and I've heard her say that, you know, and so having somebody like Rihanna, who's such a kind of like a global, you know, star, was able to like look at the career of these other women that have come before. And then because of, you know, the way society changes or just different things that happen in her culture, she's able to take that and then go in a whole new direction, you know, with it. Or somebody like, I'm trying to think of, people like Sabrina Carpenter, or what we're seeing with Chapel Roan today. So it has evolved in a lot of ways. Definitely. Whereas back then in the 80s or 40 years ago, you couldn't have been out, right, as like a member of the LGBTQ community and be playing your music and making music that's like pretty explicitly about that.
Right.
But Chapel Roan, who's like hyper feminine and doesn't apologize for it, she's out there like doing her thing, and she's, you know, like doing a good job with it and has a huge fan base, right?
Yeah, there's definitely more people making songs as far as the LGBT community. They're starting to incorporate genders in their songs now and stuff like that. So that is pretty amazing.
So for like more questions, we're going to get more into the over-sexualization of women in the music industry. So these next couple of questions are just going to piggyback off of each other, really. The first one, what factors have led to more sexualization in women in the industry?
Yeah, it's a big one. Basically, if you think really big picture, I think the way our society and culture has changed over the years has led to certain things being more acceptable now. But, you know, with some artists, they going back to Madonna, like she wanted to take control of that. So she was like, mm-hmm. Oh, you think you're going to sexualize me? Like, I'm going to do that myself.
Right.
And I'm going to try to control that narrative to some degree. And I think that women nowadays are doing that. Like, I see it in Sabrina Carpenter and, or even like, I always think back, I know this is a couple years now, it's been a couple years, but I think of WAP and Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion and how they've like are sort of, so they're sort of taking control over it. But I mean, what they did and like Brandon Carpenter's songs, those wouldn't have been able to be been made in
not
the past.
All.
Right.
Right.
Because they're so openly sexualized.
Explicit.
So yeah, it's hard to say. Like on the one hand, I see it being a good thing that women are able to present themselves however they want.
Of course.
But again, on the other hand, we don't know how audiences are going to react. We don't know, you know, what kind of media is going to, and everything is, not everything, but like we have a lot of sensationalism that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In our culture today. Yeah.
This one kind of piggybacks off of the first one. How does the over-sexualization in women in the music industry affect society perception and gender roles? And what does this impact mean for young audiences, girls and women?
So for one thing, like, not to like repeat this like often, you know, like this old saying, but to some degree, sex sells.
Yeah.
So, whether we like that or not, or however, you know, we feel about that, so they're with young women in the pop music industry going all the way back, way back to even the 1960s. This is, and girl groups and stuff that were performing back then, like this has been a thing.
It has been for a while.
Yeah. And again, like once you, if you're someone that has a pretty established career, you get to the point where you get to kind of, you know, again, control the narrative, but up and coming young women, sometimes they get exploited or they feel they have to maybe be over sexualized or, you know, just like present a very sexual like front to sell their music. And obviously each person is individual. Like if you name an artist, like that's kind of up to them to some degree. Right. But it's when they record the album, they walk out, and then the marketing and the business side of it comes in that it kind of can get out of hand. And everybody's a little different. Like, what is, like, over-sexualization to you might be different to me and anybody else that's in this building right now.
Right.
So it's a little bit hard to say. But gender roles, I think the negative side of it is that when the media or the marketing or whatever take over and they sort of highlight that thing, like this young, beautiful, sexy woman, or, you know, like that's when it becomes objectification and purely like kind of a part of capitalism and the music industry. And it can get out of people's hands. You know what I'm saying?
We could also go as far as to say it's also stereotypical, just because if a man, an artist, he does the same thing that the woman is doing, they're not going to really look at it that much. Like, oh, okay, like that's normal. But then if she goes and does it, then it's like, oh my God, she's a, you know, so.
Double standard.
Right.
Yeah.
Madonna, like years ago, talked about this in a speech that she gave several years ago. But she talked about how when Prince came out at one point and he was wearing pants with like, the butt was open.
Yeah,
he was like totally exposed. And she's like, I could have never done that. I would have just been like destroyed in the media if I had done that. But Prince does it. And everybody's like, ooh, look at that.
Nice.
Like,
yeah. It's different. It's out of the ordinary.
Yep.
But how does the sexualization of women in the music industry intersect with race, ethnicity, body size, and any other aspects of identity?
So... and this is something that we talk about in the class that DJ Kubo actually took last semester called Sex, Race, and Power in Pop Music.
Take the class, guys. Dr. Honnold is amazing.
Yep. Awesome.
So aspects of an individual's identity, when compounded, when there's multiple things that intersect with each other, this historically has led to further marginalization of a person.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's one thing if you identify as a woman, but what if you're a woman who's also of color? What if you're a woman of color who is also of the size?
Yeah.
What if you're, you know, and these things all kind of compound in each other and can, again, lead to like a further marginalization. Or on the other side of that, maybe there's someone that identifies in those ways and they're trying to make a music career. There are additional barriers.
Yeah.
Like, and again, historically, that has been the case. And so maybe if you're that person, you feel like you have to do this or have to do that to be able to make it in the industry.
Right.
But hopefully some of these barriers are starting to change. But the way that the things intersect is it contributes to, like, further marginalization, basically.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Not to shift a bit, but... what roles does the economic structure play in promoting sexualization of women?
That goes back to, it's a good question because the music industry, it's an industry. It's a business.
It's a
multi-billion dollar business.
Oh, man, yes.
Yeah, global.
Not more. Yeah.
And going back to what I said a few minutes ago, this like old chestnut sex sells.
It's
going to always sell, unfortunately.
Yeah, so, you know... I think that there have been many, many women over the years that felt like they had to do something. And we know this is the case, actually. We've read some articles like that we talk about in the class and some different examples. And you've probably heard examples of people who are like, I had to do this and this, or I quit the music industry entirely because I was being asked to do things that I was, that either were unsafe or I was uncomfortable with.
Right.
So people who... are in those positions of power, it's a power dynamic.
It is.
There can be gatekeeping sometimes. Like, they're already in, and so this new up-and-coming person may have to, like, bend over backwards and do all kinds of crazy stuff that they don't feel comfortable with to get into the industry. But in today's day and age, hopefully, like, there are other avenues, and you can just walk away.
Honestly, yeah.
Walk away and try something else.
There's a couple people in there who won't let nobody basically objectify them. It's an artist. Her name is Her. Real name is Gabrielle Wilson. I've never seen her once objectified, and she still has a pretty good respect level from everybody.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a struggle theory if you think about it, because one person has to overdo it as far as objectifying their body and stuff like that while the other person's already in the industry doing what they had to do. And so, yeah.
Who's another famous example that is kind of trying to control this narrative and doing a pretty good job of it?
I say,
who is it?
Can you think of anybody?
Ice Spice, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Ray?
Oh, yeah.
Billy, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish.
She's starting to go over there,
Wearing what she wants to wear.
Because, I believe she said that she wouldn't really wear tight-fitted because people look at her body, but now she's really comfortable in her skin.
Yeah. And she was 14.
Yeah. She was a kid, yeah. Right. She was really young.
Online, were tearing her apart in certain ways.
But let me just say, she's doing great. Yeah. Like, who really cares, well, that's easy for me to say because I'm a woman, but who really cares what she looks like? Like, her music is amazing.
Yeah, shout out Billie Eilish if you ever see
this. Everybody does.
But for my next question, how can artists maintain creative control while navigating the pressures of the industry?
That can be really hard, especially for people who are trying to begin, right? And what I said a minute ago, just walk away. I mean, don't walk away from your calling or your dream of pursuing a career in music, but walk away and find someone else that appreciates what you have and what you bring to the situation.
Right.
And yes.
Be cautious of your contracts and who you're trusting to run.
What I tell people, because I was signed to a label in California for a while, make sure you read the fine print and make sure you keep your master's.
Lawyer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Media lawyer. Get you a media lawyer.
It's a lot easier said than done, because there are cases where women were taken advantage of because they were doing what they could to get to the top where they wanted to be.
Yeah.
And if you're a younger girl, you're going to do what it takes.
Yeah.
Even if that means exploitation and things you don't want to do. So it's a lot easier said than done, but
opportunity costs. Are you willing to sacrifice?
Yeah. You don't have to. There's always other ways.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Alanis Morissette is another person that has sang, written, and recorded songs about this thing specifically. So check out some of her. I know she's a deeper dive, 90s, but she's in this too.
Good music never ages.
Exactly. Well, before we get to the next question, I mean, you guys are all having a great conversation, but I would hate to interrupt, but I know the Lewis University Music Department has a couple words to say. And they have their own advertisement. And Dr. McFerrin, Dr. Honnold, for the advertisement, take it away from here.
All right.
Sonic Boom is brought to you by the Music Department at Lewis University. Hi, everyone. My name is Wesley Morgan, and I'm the new music professor at Lewis University, where I teach music production courses and bass lessons. I'm excited to tell you about a great opportunity we have for anyone interested in a career in the music business. In addition to our BA in music industry, we now offer a fast-track program that lets you earn both your bachelor's degree and MBA in less time than it would take to complete them separately. Whether you dream of being an A&R rep, a record label executive, a concert promoter, or exploring another path in the music industry, this program will give you the training and experience to stand out in a competitive field. To learn more, visit lewishu.edu/music.
Alrighty, we're back after the few couple words from the music department. You guys should definitely check it out in the music department. Even take, go arts and ideas events and stuff like that. It'll be a great opportunity to go see.
Right. I know some of y'all need it for a class.
Yeah, so exactly.
Go to those events.
Exactly. Okay. Alrighty, let's continue the great conversation you guys are having.
So my next question for you is, where should the line be drawn between artistic expression and exploitation when it comes to a female artist and their image?
I think this is a super personal question. So dependent on the artists themselves.
Yeah.
Where's that line for you?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's really hard to say. I mean, we all bring all of our, anytime we walk around in the world, right, and engage with other people, and we bring our own, like, experiences and, like, whether that's, like, how you grew up and religion, all these things. Yeah. So, like, people have to, yeah, it's hard. But what I will say, and I think you kind of touched on it a minute ago, is, like, know where that is for you.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Know your worth.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And then if people have more power than they think they do.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And if someone wants to, like, sex sells, if someone wants to over-sexualize themselves, that is their choice. But as long as
they're controlling it, if right. it's their yeah. choice. Yeah.
If it's any other thing, exploitation or anything, that is where the line should be drawn. Like, absolutely not. But unfortunately, that is how our world is.
Yeah.
The concept of agency is important to bring up here, because when someone has agency or they're demonstrating agency, it means that they're being heard.
Yeah.
All right. And some people, typically, like, people who don't have agency or people from marginalized communities, whatever that it may look like. And so they feel powerless, or like, yeah. they can't. So, I think what we're talking about, or what you both were just saying a little bit, reminds me of this idea of agency, like, know your worth, like, speak up, and hopefully you're in a room, you've put yourself in a situation where people are going to listen.
Exactly.
And, absolutely.
Like, also appreciate what you bring as, like, an artist.
Exactly.
So, unfortunately, we are running out of time, so I just have one more last question to hit you with. I think this one is a good one to close out with, because there are people, whether they're in, like, Lewis in the music industry or not, who are interested in music, and this could probably help them too. Are there any strategies that female artists and or activists use to challenge and resist sexualization of women in the music industry? If so, what are they?
I guess mine is just, my response to that is, like, pretty broad, but it's finding support, or supporting each other.
Yeah.
But finding people who are willing to support you, you know, and finding like-minded individuals. I know that's not necessarily like an activist. Like, that's a little bit of a, you know, maybe a foundation for activists, and it's not necessarily a big action step, but just generally as part of our lives, you know, finding people that will support you and that appreciate where you're coming from. And again, like, what you bring to the table. So, yeah, I don't know. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Yeah, sure. Well, thank you, Dr. Honnold,
thank you
for
so
coming
much.
On
you
Sonic
both.
Boom.
Oh, that was awesome. Good question.
Yes.
We could talk all day about this.
Of course.
Yeah, it's a topic.
Until it gets,
you know, that's always changing, you know, drastically. And
yes, absolutely. Ongoing.
Yeah.
And
hopefully it gets better.
Yes.
Exactly. And also, when you guys have the chance, you know, being in the Lewis experience, I would definitely recommend taking Discovering Sex, Race, Pop Music.
Yes.
As a class.
Or yes. Discovering and Pop Music.
That's yes. also. Yeah.
It's always good to stay educated in the industry that you are in. Yes.
Exactly. Yes.
Things that you're interested in.
Yes.
If you want to, if you want to learn more about music and the origins and universal music, I also suggest you take Discovering Classical Music with Dr. McFerrin. You learn a lot. You learn how to actively listen and objectify the songs. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yep, absolutely.
And also, you know, I want to thank, you know, all of us for being here today.
Of
and
course.
Also,
yes.
with the background music is being provided by Lexi.
Okay, Token.
Yes.
Yep.
Shout out, thank you.
Yep.
Listen to her music, y'all. It's
please,
so good.
Absolutely. On YouTube, please.
Yeah, Token. I was going to say, shout out your
certified
socials.
Certified by Ken on YouTube and Instagram, tenken.official.
Yes.
Yep. Thank you.
Follow me on Instagram, guys. KIAZIA_love.
Exactly. Alrighty. Well.
All right, bye.
Bye. See you guys in the next episode. Bye.